Hey, Eddie, you know what's awesome?
What's awesome, my love?
My little oil biz.
It is awesome, isn't it?
Do you like that name? Mom's little oil biz?
Almost as much as I love you.
Let's do this podcast, Otara style.
You got it, babe.
Welcome, everyone, to Mama's Little Biz podcast. My name is Angela Villa.
And I am Eddie Villa. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am extremely excited about what we got planned for you guys today. But as always, I like to kind of talk about how the heck we got connected with this person that we're going to be interviewing today. And I was really struggling to figure out. I was struggling to figure it out because it feels like I've been listening to this guy for a long time. But, you know, maybe you got a better, more clear story.
Actually, yes. You were listening to this guy for a long time. And yeah. I had no idea that you were listening to him. And I had heard his name a couple times in the world of network marketing. Everybody knows mom and dad. My mom and dad were professional their whole life, network marketing. So that's what I knew. But I didn't really know much about this guy. And then Eddie, this is the one time you introduced me to someone that I hadn't known yet. So Eddie was the one that was listening to his podcast and following, remember the site?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And taking programs and just investing in himself with the info that our guest puts out. And so that's how it all started. And you brought me in. And then I started sharing podcasts left and right because sometimes in the world of network marketing, as we know, people forget that we're in sales. And so it was so wonderful to bring actual skill sets to a lot of you, our followers and listeners, as well as our own team. So, Eddie, why don't you go ahead and introduce
Yeah,
him?
And so here's the deal. This is, I'm excited to bring him on. This is a guy who's been in network marketing for quite a long time. He's a two-time best-selling author, a former number one income earner in a network marketing company that he joined while in foreclosure, which that's one thing I love about this guy. He's totally transparent, which is what our podcast is all about. He has shared the stage with Tony Robbins, Bob Proctor, Les Brown, Robert Kiyosaki, so many other people. And of course, he just like us, loves helping network marketers yeah. build businesses and creating real freedom in life.
Yeah.
And so here I'm going to introduce you to the guy who put the words in my vocabulary, Just Curious. Like I can't get that out of my vocabulary, Mr. Ray Higdon. Hello, Ray.
Hey, what's up? Hey, guys.
You know, that phrase, me and a few guys, when we first got into listening to your stuff, we were constantly dropping the Just Curious everywhere. Now I use it with Angela. Hey, Ange, Just Curious. And she immediately looks at me like, no, don't you dare.
Yeah.
Because I know you're not Just Curious.
Because I have friends, too, that they'll use the line of, hey, I'm going to this party and I'm going to go with or without you. I'd love to do it with you. You know, like that. So I have friends that'll like do that kind of stuff to me too. Like my word tracks back.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's funny.
When you know you've won. People just implement it in everyday conversation.
That's right.
Anyway, welcome to the podcast, man. Thanks very much for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
We have our audience, you know, over the last couple of years has kind of grown and only because we've just been honest about our growth, like our journey with building network marketing, told a lot of stories. Mm-hmm. And when you guys started offering stuff as an affiliate, we loved the programs mm-hmm. and we started sharing with you. And that's when we really realized that we were actually connecting with people. We were making a mm-hmm. difference when we saw how many people were buying your stuff straight from our referral.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I feel like we kind of jumped on your radar was, hey, we
yeah.
got a following.
Yeah, you guys clearly have established yourself as leaders. So it was good to see you guys rock and roll.
Yeah, it's been fun. Well, we want to know. We want to give our listeners just an in depth to your world.
Yeah.
How network marketing got on your radar? How? I mean, I know a lot of people can go and read your blog, but we want to guide them there to learn sure. more about the man that is Ray Higdon.
Yeah. So how I found network marketing or how it found me. So originally it was February of 2006 and I was very focused on building my real estate business. And so here in the state of Florida, real estate market was red hot and, you know, me and a couple other partners were just doing really good with real estate. And my main real estate partner came to me and said, hey man, you should do this network marketing thing. And it was a juice company. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I'm focused on real estate because I thought I was, you know, I was too cool for school. And so, you know, he kind of persisted, and then he introduced me to someone who was making, you know, a pretty good amount of money. I think they were making like $8,000 a month or something like that. And I'm like, wow, I had no idea you could even do that with this profession. And so, you know, I took a little run at it. I wasn't coachable. I thought I knew everything. And so I did a lot of dumb mistakes and a lot of non-duplicatable things. And so I built a team, and then it kind of, you know, shrank. And so it didn't really last. And I didn't get the culture and community side of network marketing. So from February 2006 to, you know, I think July of 2009, I had basically been in and out of like 11 different companies.
Oh, wow.
And, some of them, I created some checks because, you know, I was fairly good at recruiting, but nothing that lasted, nothing that sustained or anything like that. And I don't know exactly when, but sometime in 2009, maybe late 2008, I'd really sworn off network marketing. I was never going to do it again. Yeah. And that's when right about that time is when the economy really changed and I really got clobbered. And so went from making great money to not so much money to losing money every single month on our different investments and, you know, different rental properties and things like that. And so came July 2009, I'm dead broke, in-person foreclosure, being chased by bill collectors. And a friend of mine has no idea that I'm dealing with all that, invites me to a home party. I go there and I'm just like, you know what? I got nothing else. Like this is it. And so I just vowed that I was going to take that thing to the top and, became the number one income earner over there. And so, you know, it's been an interesting ride. And I think it's a testament of sometimes, you know, if you're approaching people and they're either doing really well and too cool for school, or maybe not really interested in it, you never know what that could turn into. And that's the story with me.
So I love hearing what, especially the ones who can teach us now what they did, like you, how you were in and out of 11 companies and never quite picked it up. What was the deciding factor for you? Was it your situation financially that made you go, I'm going with this? Or did you do something? Because I know you're huge on coaching and we love that so much. What was it? What was that thing that made you finally become successful?
Well, I think there were like three things. So one, I had gotten kind of cocky with, you know, real estate was going so well. I really thought I was like a genius. And, you know, it turns out it was just a hot market and anyone with a pulse could have made pretty good money like I did. And so having one of the very best things that's ever happened in my life is me losing it all. I mean, that taught me a very harsh lesson that really sucked for a good period of time. But I needed that to happen for me to, for me to learn some things that I had yet to learn. And so I would say probably three things. One, me losing it all and having a checkup from the neck up that maybe I had more to learn. Number two, and this could probably be a whole podcast, but I hadn't talked to my dad in 13 years. And I reestablished a relationship with him, which, I didn't think had anything to do with making money or business or anything like that. But I have witnessed in myself personally, but also in other people, that sometimes when you release past baggage and head trash and things like that, new futures can open up. And so that absolutely had to be a major part of it, because July 4th, 2009 was his birthday. And he went up there, he met his grandsons for the first time. He had never met them. They were 8 and 9 years old. And, it was 11 days later that I joined that network marketing company. So it's not coincidence. Okay. Yeah. And then number three is I just came in as a student. You know, I had success in network marketing, but I came in as a total student. I'm just like, all right, pretend I don't know anything. And so, you know, I went to, you know, some in my upline, I looked for other mentors and things like that. And I acted like I hadn't moved lots and lots of real estate or, you know, been featured in magazines and things like that. And I just came humble student on the ground, teach me. And that's, I would say those three things are really the ingredients.
That's awesome.
And it's funny. It's amazing that you mentioned your dad thing. I think like for me, I've said this to people too, is that network marketing challenges every weakness you have.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest ones to deal with is the relationship factor. And like for us, building our business had a lot to do with, and I say this a lot, is building our marriage had a big impact on building our business.
Yeah.
And like literally like doing date nights, put money in our bank account is the way I see it. And so you're kind of, you noticed that difference with your dad.
For sure. And, you know, the residual effect of sharing that story, you know, cause there's a whole story behind it, but the residual effect of that is I've had over the years, I've had probably maybe a dozen people that have reconnected with a father, a mother, an aunt, a brother, a sister, and you know, have sent me those kind of stories that hearing my story inspired them to reconnect. And you know, it's just cool. You know, like one guy, Broderick, he sent me a picture of him with his dad, and he had resented him his whole life. And I don't think he had seen him in like 15 years or something like that. And he sent me this picture, and it was, you know, it was just pretty cool. So that's the other thing about network marketing is if you do the steps to create success, you are granted a platform of impact, and how will you use it? And so if you use it to share your struggles and how you overcame, then you are definitely an inspiration, you know, engine, and you're inspiring other people.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. So you would definitely then say the power of your story is beyond what you really believe it is, right? I know there's a hesitancy for people to actually share their stories.
Right, right.
I'd like you to talk about this and how actually powerful your story can be if you do share it.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting balance. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, like, I mean, I'll give you the two scenarios since we're going here. I never shared the foreclosure story until I was the number one incomer of that company. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I still hadn't planned on sharing it, but I had a guy in my team who was a pretty big earner in my team. And he, you know, got a deal and jumped to, you know, another company. And, you know, I mean, I'm like, hey, you know, best of luck, good luck, you know, that sort of thing. And, he came to me and he's just like, I'm going to tell everybody, cause I confided in him. He's like, I'm going to tell everybody that you're a phony and that you're in foreclosure. And because at the time here, I was still in the house that was in foreclosure. Didn't make sense for me to like pay it all back. Right. Cause it just didn't make sense. And I was the top earner. And I thought about that and I'm like, you know, screw it. And so the next day I shot a video and said, hey, you know, I got something to admit to you guys. And that is, you know, you've been seeing me rocket in network marketing. And the truth is I've been in foreclosure and, you know, when the market changed, blah, 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 blah. That story skyrocketed my exposure. It gave my story, you know, like someone that, hey, here's a number one incomer of a company. Okay, great story. Here's a number one incomer of a company who started when he was in foreclosure. Very different story. And so people wanted me to share my story. And so I got, all of a sudden, I'm getting asked to speak on stages. So it actually, you know, happened for a reason. In regards to that, when you're going through the struggle, and something I really wish I did, and I saw, you know, one of our diamond clients, Simon Chan, I saw that he had done this and I just thought it was so brilliant. I was like, dang, I wish I would have. He took screenshots of his back office during the struggle years, because it took him a long time for you know, he had zero team left, right, zero team, zero team. And he took all these screenshots, which was so smart because, you know, some back offices you can't like go back in time. And so while you're in the struggle, remember it. Just don't dwell in it. Just don't live in it. Just don't wear it like a warm blanket, but remember it, right? See it, feel it, understand it, take screenshots, you know, but have them like you're doing a biography of someone else, because you are literally changing every cell in your body to transform into something else. Like I am, like if you studied all the cells in my body in 2009, I don't think there's any the same. And so you have to, while you're in that story, remember it. But fact of the of life is no one likes a rags to rags story, right? You gotta it's gotta riches, right? Yeah. I wasn't starting each video with, hey, it's Ray in foreclosure and I really need some money, guys. Right? And so a lot of people, you know, it sounds funny and it's humorous, but some people need to hear that, because I mean, I'll go to, you know, events and you know, people will, you know, sometimes someone will come up to you and be like, hey, here's all my struggles. And you can tell they're just living in it. It's a warm blanket around them and they're talking about all their struggles and how tough it is and rough and everything. And so remember that stuff, but you aren't allowed to share that until you get out of it, and then you can use it for inspiration. So the tougher your story, the more responsibility and the more duty you have to create success. Because if there's a major gap between where you're starting out or where you've been to where you, you know, where you go, that's all inspiration. That's pure, 100% bona fide organic inspiration that could be injected into the souls of every person that ever hears it. And so you, it's your duty. You've had a lot of struggles and obstacles and punches to the face, kicks to the shin, then congrats, you now have a responsibility to create success. It's not, oh, that's why you can't. It's a responsibility for you too, because you're going to impact people that maybe I can't, maybe you guys can't, you know, et cetera. The second thing, and this falls into responsibility, is I had never shared that story about my dad until I went to someone in my team, this guy Kenneth. He's in Myrtle Beach, and he asked me to come up and do a team training or an opportunity meeting and a team training. I'm like, sure. And this was probably 2010 would be my guess. And so I go up there and do the opportunity meeting, and I was about to do the training, and just something in me just was like, talk about your dad, right? Just something kind of called me to do that. And I never talked about it. Like, I don't know why. I guess I just wasn't willing to be vulnerable, which I'll come back to. But on that day, I shared the story, and there was probably 50 people in the room, not a huge, you know, audience or anything. I shared the story, and afterwards, Kenneth is walking toward me, tears pouring down his face. And I'm thinking, man, what's going on here? And I'm like, you know, you all right? And he said, I can't believe you shared that story. I haven't talked, and this is him talking, he hadn't talked to his dad in 17 years. The next day, he was flying out for his funeral.
Oh my gosh.
Now that's just crazy. So I had two thoughts at that, you know, I mean, I'm hit with this like right there. And two thoughts. One, I'd had a webinar with Kenneth on it a week before. What if I had shared? What if I'd shared my dad's story? Maybe he just would have picked up the phone, right? And then the second thing was, wow, I need to be more vulnerable. I need to be willing to share some of the things that I've gone through. I still really haven't shared all my struggles, believe it or not, but I've shared a little bit about, you know, some of the child abuse I had and some of the drug abuse I had. And, you know, so I still, believe it or not, I haven't shared all, but you willing to be vulnerable instead of looking like the amazing professional that is flawless, that is what builds trust and builds rapport and builds love. You know, if I don't think I would be on this interview if, you know, you guys saw, you know, someone that never really had any struggles, just is really good at recruiting and right, just rose to the top, no problems. You know, it's that meat, it's that, you know, that opposition, that overcoming, that makes a story rich.
Well, it makes you human.
Yeah.
It makes you just like everybody else, which is, this is a business for everybody to,
right,
have that opportunity. And it's so good to be able to know that, yeah, he's normal, she's normal, they're human beings. And I connect with that.
Right. You know, people do. So this, I mean, I think a lot of people expect that network marketing is supposed to be done in a, like a circumstance of convenience. Like it's supposed to be the proper conditions. I know a ton of people. I have all the right skills. Let me start off and enroll 100 people this in the first month.
Right.
It's nice to be reminded that even the top earners, like even when you look at some of the biggest people in the world, like Michael Jordan or Oprah Winfrey, these are human beings too that came from desperate times or hard times.
Right. For sure.
So right on. So I love the reminder of vulnerability just to connect it maybe to network marketing when it comes to relationship building, because this is kind of what we're talking about here. This is people. Your job, and I listened to your Facebook Live this morning, and you had had the call from somebody who the question was, can I just build my business straight from internet?
Right.
Like all internet. And the thing I heard is probably the same thing you heard is I don't want to talk to people.
Right. These pesky people.
We love that one.
Like the guy in the clerk that says this job would be great if it wasn't for the customers.
Exactly.
It's like you said that yes, you can build it up on the internet, but you can't do it without the phone.
Right.
And so it's like you have to get over this fear of wanting to create relationships with people. And I think the story with your dad and even with other people is understanding, like, if you're really good at these other relationship things, you're going to be great. It'll translate right over to network marketing.
Yeah.
In fact, our leaders, we consider them more than friends. They're like blood.
For sure.
They might as well have been like raised by the same parents, and we're trapped in the same house together, and we're not getting out without everybody coming out together.
Right.
And I think it's important. I'm just so glad that you're bringing up this whole situation with your dad, because what a great skill to be able to have to reach out to someone who maybe, you know, you just didn't have that connection with before.
Right.
Be able to do it in your business too.
For sure. I mean, some of our best friends have been made through network marketing for sure. And when we were actively building a network marketing team, I mean, it wasn't like when we had a birthday party, it wasn't like, okay, here's our friends and here's our teammates, right? Mm-hmm. We invited all the teammates. And so, you know, every birthday party and every, like any kind of event, you would have a ton of teammates there. And that's just how it is. And which not everyone has, you know, and that's just so people need to understand that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they don't have a lot of great relationships or they don't have a lot of friendships, and network marketing can definitely facilitate that.
Yeah. Off to the side, my parents have been doing network marketing for years. They're $1 million club, all that stuff. And my wedding list was ridiculously long.
Nice. And oh yeah. That is tough. I remember our wedding. So I know what you're saying.
And so yeah, they're definitely family, friends, all of that. But Eddie mentioned just skills. And that's one of the reasons I absolutely just adore you and your wife, because there's an idea that this is just something, you know, you just want to want it bad enough and just come on, you believe in yourself. And that's false. Can you talk about skilling up and the importance of developing the skills necessary to be good at this?
Yeah. You know, it's weird because people expect things out of network marketing that they would never expect of any other kind of occupation. You know, so it's like, I mean, if you want to be successful as a doctor, I mean, no one's like, you know what, I just think I can do it. You know, I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, it just doesn't compute, you know? And so people, it's like, and I think part of the issue is the, you know, one of the greatest things about network marketing is also one of the worst, and that's the low barrier to entry. You know, you can join a company for usually a couple $100 or, you know, and get product and all that stuff and a business in a box without getting continuing education, without getting a degree, without getting a license, without getting, you know, anything, you know, versus, you know, your typical franchise, I think is like $80,000 or $100,000. So someone will take that a little bit more seriously. And so yeah, there's, you know, there are definitely certain skills that will help increase your chances of creating success. And I think sometimes, and it's a terrible practice, but some people gravitate toward those like miracle stories, mm-hmm. like of the, you know, one, the barber that, you know, signed up his best client who built a team of a million people and now he's rich, you know? And so people like, they gravitate to this like one in a bajillion, you know, chances. And the worst practice is when people actually utilize those kind of stories to recruit. Like, I want to tell people how tough it is. And I want to tell people that, you know, hey, you know, this is, you know, like for example, on most companies in their income disclosure statement, you'll see it goes from like zero to $2 a year to, you know, down at the bottom, it's like, you know, $5 million a year or $1 million a year or whatever your company is. And, you know, people will pay attention and they'll look at the comp plan or the income disclosure statement and say, well, here it only says that like, you know, 1% make over, you know, $100,000. And I said, yeah, 1% are willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
Very straightforward. You know, it's not lottery. It's not chance.
Yeah. That's the deal.
It's someone's willing to put in the work, and work and skill go hand in hand in that, you know, when I was in telemarketing, you know, they used to force us to do 450 calls a day. And that was just what you had to do. And no network marketer does that. I've never met one that does that. And so, they had a phrase and they would say, hey, what you lack in skill, make up for in numbers. And so work and skill goes together. And so you don't necessarily have to work on your skills, but you better 10 times your work. Mm. And so if you have someone who's a decent recruiter, a decent connector, someone who's good at relationships, if they talk to 5 people a day, they can build an absolute empire. If you have someone who hasn't worked on their skills, refuses to work on their skills, refuses to invest in themselves or get courses or books or mentors or coaches or whatever, then they can get there too, but their work throughput needs to be a lot higher. So whereas skilled person who's working on their skills and you know has been working on their skills and investing in themselves 5 people a day, this person, they may need to talk to 45, 50 people a day. Mm-hmm. And they could get similar results. Which one do you want to be? And this, you know, this comes down to the, you know, the Abraham Lincoln deal. If you got to chop down a tree and you got 3 hours, spend, you know, 2 hours sharpening the axe. Well, that's what you're doing when you're working on your skill set. And so this is something that I was thinking about this earlier today and I posted something on Facebook. I would say there's probably 3 things that have helped us to get to where we are, 3 main things that helped us get to where we are. You know, we built a, you know, coaching training company that's done over $10 million the last 3 years and all the different other accolades. I would say 3 things. One, moving forward imperfectly. And so my first website, terrible. First blog, terrible. First video, terrible. Pretty much first everything, terrible. Number 2, being consistent and just showing up each and every day and chipping away. And number 3, investing in ourselves. And so, you know, this, you know, we have invested so much money in ourselves through coaches and courses and mentors and seminars and, you know, et cetera. The skill sets that you need to absolutely be working on is communication, listening. You can get better at prospecting, at closing, at building a team culture, at, basic communication, because I've seen it where someone is good at communicating with a prospect, but once they're in the team, they treat them differently. Yeah. And that doesn't work. Like you have to, you have to make a culture inside of your team that people like being a part of. So what are the core values of the team? What is the vision of the team? What is the, you know, why are we all here? Why is this important? And it's got to be about more than just making money. It's got to be about we're working on something that's bigger than us. And so there's so many skill sets inside of there that make sense. And, if you want to change the direction of your network marketing business, I also worked on marketing, which not every network marketer works on. But, you know, we worked on honing our marketing skills to attract people to us. And so quite a few different skills in there. I kind of rambled on.
No, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. And it's, you know, I credit a lot of my Facebooking skills to your wife.
She's awesome.
She's the reason we have a business.
Wow.
Just want to shout that out. Yeah. Because that alone is a skill to be able to do what people do. I want to build online. I want to build on Facebook. I want to build on social media. And then they go out and blast the world with crap. So, skill set it's so vast. There's so much to it. And then you never, ever stop learning. And I know you've said it before, even the level that you are at now that you guys coach, you still are learning so much every day. And you talk about learning through different clients that you have, like Mark Harbert and great clients that we follow. It's just a constant growing process, no matter how big you get.
For sure. We're only a couple months into this year as of this recording. And we've already committed $172,000 to our mentors for this year. And so there just won't be a year where I'm not hunting for, okay, who can we hire now? And so what you realize is the more that we invest in ourselves and the better we improve our skill sets, the better we can show up as coaches and trainers. Yeah. And so it's just like it's an awesome loop for people that like to learn stuff. I love to learn stuff. And I've just found a way to make it really profitable to learn stuff. And so, we invest in ourselves, we share, we transform that, translate what we are learning into how it can impact our clients and students. And then they, invest in us and we help them. So it's a really cool circle.
Yeah.
Invest.
Learn, teach.
Learn, teach. Yep. Yeah. I was messing it up. I knew I'd learn, but
we try and get that through people's heads when they're like, I'm not sure. Like I remember when we were promoting, Jessica's program and there was this whole, I'm not sure. I don't know if I can afford it. I don't know. And for us, it was a no brainer. It was like invest, learn, teach.
Right.
We try and teach them start wherever you are, start with that book, take what you learn from that book, right. Implement it, make 50 extra bucks to buy that first program.
Yep.
And then take what you learn from that first program, make 200 extra bucks to buy that next step up until you are just.
Yeah. I hope we're not communicating to people. Just go ahead and drop 100 plus a thousand to go hiring mentors and coaches. You're probably not ready for someone who's at that level anyway.
If you're
just starting out. So I love the idea of, and in fact, you were one of the people that I used to teach people this, was like, there's tons of free training. And if you're following the right people, you're going to make money off of the free stuff.
Sure.
Especially if like you're following Ray Higdon, just listen to his training. Okay. If he's got a program to sell, you can't afford it. Fine. But take what he showed you, because that's going to make you some money.
Yeah.
You take that money and then you buy the program.
Yeah.
I did a whole training on it just based off of what you guys were doing, because it made sense.
Yeah.
It's made so much sense to learn something that was going to make you more money, that was going to allow you to invest in something else that was going to make you even more money. Anybody really who wants to be coachable can do that.
For sure.
And
it's a good distinction. It's a good distinction in that, obviously I didn't start off with investing hundreds of thousands of dollars. You do what you can, I definitely, most people, I've had people, join teams over the years and be like, all right, Ray, I got a budget of 10 grand. How should I spend this? And my usual suggestion to them is, okay, let's get you making your first 1,000 and then let's evaluate. And so sometimes people try to throw just money minus time at their network marketing building. And I don't see that work ever. And so, let's get you into profit and let's not buy likes right now. Okay. Let's connect with human beings that we can. Let's reach out to warm markets, see who's open, and not, if they're not, then that's totally cool. Let's prospect people on social media. It doesn't cost anything. And let's do some of those things first before we, get you in the hole.
Yeah.
That's awesome. In fact, that's another thing you mentioned this morning. Like if I were to give you 2,000 followers on your Facebook, could you hold them? You know, if it's being handed to you, then you can't handle that. You can't hold it. You have to earn it so that you know how to maintain it.
You gotta show up like you got that audience. I mean, my first blogs and videos, I mean, they didn't get hardly anything, you know, like hardly any shares. And, you know, I was looking back at some of my posts from like, you know, 2009, 2010, and some of them are pretty good and they got like 11 shares, you know? So, you know, you just got to show up, you know, you can't, it's not, well, once I have the audience, then I'll start creating quality. It doesn't work that way. You know, it just doesn't. You got to create the quality and be so good they can't ignore you and attract people to you, and then take care of them once they're in your web.
Yeah. Did you have like, do you feel like you had this vision, or maybe not this vision, but maybe a desire or a goal in mind of how large you could see yourself growing, or your business growing, or your following, or anything like that, as you were going through the early times?
I don't know that I could have answered that maybe 6 months ago, but a few months ago I was, and I did a Facebook Live about this, and I really should have made it more pronounced. So I should probably find it or something, but I was cleaning out a backpack, and so like, you know, I've had this backpack for a really, really long time. And, you know, it's one of those Thule's or have Thule. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's,
we fight over that too.
Yeah, is it Thule? You know, I don't know.
I call them the Thule.
So I'm cleaning it out and I'm putting in this new one, which is, it's got more space. It's lighter somehow. I don't know. And it's like awesome. And so I'm cleaning out all this stuff, and I find this crumbled up, like half folded, not, you know, just kind of crumbled up at the very bottom. And I unfold it, and it's a list of goals. And this is like a treasure, you know, like when you find a list of goals that you wrote years and years and years ago that you've totally forgotten about, that's like a treasure.
Oh yeah.
And so you're like, ooh, what was I thinking? So I'm looking at it, and biggest mistake. And this is another one of those things like the Simon and screenshots. Always date. If you're writing down goals, always put a date on it, so you're not like trying to piece together the Nancy Drew mystery, right? And so I'm looking at it, and based on what I was looking at, I'm pretty sure it was early 2010, where I was starting to get back in the groove of success and that sort of thing, but definitely hadn't like made it or anything like that. And so I had, you know, I had some, you know, some things on there, like, you know, I actually have it around here somewhere. I won't look for it, but it was, you know, have, I think, 25,000 on my email list, right? 25,000 likes on Facebook. There were a couple relationship things, or a couple, you know, a couple other things. And, you know, and now, you know, it's interesting. We have 250,000 on our email list. We got 230,000 Facebook fans. But the most interesting one that was really eerie was, because keep in mind, I wrote this when I was still in the house in foreclosure. Now I was on my way up. So it wasn't, you know, this wasn't at my very lowest, because I just wouldn't have written goals back then.
Yeah.
So I was on my way up, but I wasn't there yet. I wrote down that I'm so happy and grateful, because that's how I usually word goals. I'm so happy and grateful that I'm building a 5,400 square foot home on the water in Fort Myers right now. And it's due to be finished by February of next year. We're building a 5,500 square foot home on the water in Fort Myers. And I live in Estero, different city. How weird is that?
I don't remember
writing it, but just like the audacity to write that, because I, you know, back then I'd never had a house more than, I don't know, 2,500 square feet back then. And so odd that I totally don't remember it at all. And it's actually similar to my story about Jess. When we were moving from that house that I was in foreclosure in, when we were moving from that house and I was cleaning out the kitchen drawers, I found a list of traits that I wanted in a perfect spouse. And it was like I described Jess to a T. To a T. Like humor, ambitious, gets along with my kids, gets along with my friends, has gratitude for things that I do, right? And because I've gone through a divorce, I've been engaged, disengaged, and just hadn't, you know, had kind of a rocky relationship thing there. And you know, I wrote this list describing her to an absolute T.
That's the power of pen to paper. Seriously. Yep, you sure. There's so much power in just putting it on paper.
For sure.
That is so fun to hear.
You know, if you had told me this 3 years ago,
yeah,
I would have been like, that's stupid. I would have been like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
But after the last few years and us doing that, and even recently, like I told you, I think I told you earlier that I had gone through Jim Rohn's goal setting thing, and he said, write down 50 goals for the next 10 years.
Nice.
And I did that. And I got up to like 70 because I started having fun with it. But when I was going through this process with somebody who had hired me recently to work with them, I had them set goals and I was kind of going through my list to give them examples and some different ones to that maybe they can get ideas from. And on there was have a conversation with Ray Higdon. Nice. And in that moment, I was like, I think I kind of forgot that I wrote that in there.
Nice.
But this is just another proof that is writing it down. It doesn't really go away. It, especially right. Coming from your heart, it's there. I think if anything, it made it more real.
Nice.
And I remember sitting down on my couch and we're in our living room and we'll wrap this up on this one, brother, because you've been great. But I was sitting on my couch and Angela was on the table and I don't know what she was doing, but I was
on the table. I was
sitting at the table. Yeah.
On the table.
At the table. Anyway, this is the vision I'm remembering. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, why don't I just invite Ray Higdon to just do the podcast with us? I didn't go over my goals. It wasn't like just there was no practical reason for it.
Right.
My heart just said, ask the man, who knows? And you responded like instantly, like, yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great. And,
and then 50 reschedules later, we finally got to.
Yeah, that's what made this whole. This made it an adventure. That's when the adventure began. It was like Indiana.
That's right.
But anyway, my point is that when I connect the two together, it makes total sense. And if anything, it makes me feel like if I've only got 75 goals, I'm thinking a little too small here. I need to get a little bit bigger. And so, if anything, we can just encourage a lot of our listeners to start writing down stuff and taking snapshots of where they can.
Yeah.
And not like, you know, take a snapshot and just recognize, okay, this is where I'm growing from. Mm-hmm. Not like, hey, look guys, I really suck. You know, it's, you know, just take the screenshot and just see yourself showing it in a presentation in front of a group of 10,000 people.
Oh, that's awesome.
And here's where I started and here's my progress. And seeing the checks increase, the team increase, all those different things. So seeing yourself do that, very, very powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so awesome. I want everybody to do that right now. That's so freaking cool. All right. Do you have any, we'd like for you to just kind of maybe wrap up with a final thought is there something?
Okay. We do want that. But I wanted to just congratulate you on the house, which is
thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Thanks.
We absolutely love seeing your family and your daughter is so adorable. And and I as a mama and having him home appreciate how much joy you find in being there with them at all times. And I just love that. And I want to thank you for putting that out there for people to see and embrace and follow and know that but these things are possible and finding joy in those things are super possible. So congratulations on everything going on and
thank you.
And on your beautiful family. But, you know, tell us where we can find you. Where can people find Ray?
They don't
what
already
do you
know.
Have going on? What are
like
things?
An address? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Tell us where you live. No, we always talk about where, you know, your podcast and things like that. So
yeah.
Tell people where they should go right now after listening to this.
Yeah. So, I mean, depending on what it is you're looking for, I mean, we provide almost daily value on our blog at rayhigdon.com, rayhigdon.com. We do have a podcast, pretty easy to find, rayhigdon.com/podcast. And then, also on Facebook, we do a lot of Facebook lives and, you know, every Friday we do Free Coaching Friday, which you were referring to. We have a lot of fun on there, and that's at facebook.com/Ray Higdon page.
Okay. All right, awesome. Man. Thanks very much. Any final thoughts you want to wrap up on, and we'll set it up. Final thoughts.
Yeah, we just have covered a lot of ground here, and just know that this is something that you have to give up the addiction of you seeing yourself where you currently are if you want to get to a place where you've never been. And so you have to really shed the skin of the person that that you currently see as yourself and see that you can become someone completely different. At one point in my life, I didn't feel I was adding any value. I didn't have anybody wanting to interview me or thanking me for my contribution, to the world. And so I had to shed the skin of some of those traits that I saw as myself and to become something else. And everyone can do that. And just know that the harder your story, the tougher obstacles, then the more duty and responsibility you have to create a successful story so you can inspire people that maybe we can't.
Awesome.
I love that. Brilliant.
That's how you've been that. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ray. We appreciate you being on with us. And I know we'll enjoy this. So we're going to go ahead and close this out for Mama's Little Biz Podcast. My name is Angela Villa.
And I am Eddie Villa. Have a wonderful week, everybody, and happy sharing.
Bye.